Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon, Muskegon.
I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Football is just around the corner, Coach.
That's right. This like,
is summer gone, man.
Man, but it's a good time of the year, though.
Yeah, it is. We excited because that's what we like. But, man, I know when that happens, though, it's summer's coming to an end. But it's been a good summer.
Yep. Chilly Friday nights.
Yeah, they got that Indian summer. You get the warm days and the cool nights. And we're looking forward to another great season.
That's right.
At home of the Big Reds. You know, we're on the road for first two games. We've got to go down to the D and play two of the best teams in the area, which both teams won state championships last year. We happen to play one of them twice.
Yeah.
And we got De La Salle up first at Wayne State. And then the following week, we head back to Detroit to play the defending Division III champions, Martin Luther King.
At Wayne State, right?
No. Not at Wayne State. It's going to be at their stadium.
No. They can't do that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, they about to tear the locker room up in there.
I don't even know if they got a locker room, man.
So the game going to be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
7 o'clock on Friday night.
And Martin Luther King?
Yeah.
On the east side?
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. Hey, man.
Not good, man.
That's not good. You can't come out of there with a win. Y'all know y'all better have a bus on the highway.
Okay.
Yeah, Uber y'all way back. Oh, man, that's home field advantage right there.
Oh, man, I ain't looking forward to it. I'll be honest with you, man.
Man, I was going to follow them for them two. I thought it was going to be a Wayne State coach.
But, I'm going to be prepared. I'll tell you that.
I used to live in Detroit. I did, too. Hey, we don't have no football game at 7 o'clock at night.
No. Because the game will start to be daylight. But when it's over, it's dark, man. You know, it's 9 o'clock now. You're in September.
So what are they going to do for everybody, cars and everything?
Park where you can, man. Parking is horrendous. You know, I don't want our fans not to show up.
Yeah.
But
we need a bus. Yeah. We need a couple buses.
Yeah, but we need to represent. We need to be there. And I know the diehards will be there.
Yeah, you're right.
But that won't happen for a while again because they both agreed not to renew our contracts in the coming year. So this is it. And we'll find two more opponents for next year.
I think those two teams, when it comes to public, and I wouldn't say Martin Luther King is a private school, but they are in one of Detroit's elite schools between Renaissance, Martin Luther King, and Cass Tech. Those three are magnet schools, I would say. Magnet public. So when we play them and we beat the best, it does something to their psyche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It causes an issue, a ripple effect throughout the state for them.
Yes, it does.
Like, we got the best boys in the city, or De La Salle. We got these selective kids that we hand-picked, and you kids from the neighborhood are running through them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, be reality. I'm a kid from the neighborhood.
Yeah,
so
we're
I'm just
a small market, man.
Yeah, we small. We mosquitoes.
That's it. Yeah, when you look at the big scheme of things, it's like the NBA, you know, the small market teams, and you got the big market teams that can draw, you know, the better talent because they got the most money or whatever. And that's kind of where it is, man.
We just take kids out the neighborhood that come from.
We just bring who we got.
The projects and wherever they come from, we take them and make them man.
We don't get to go hand pick players from other communities and bring them over like you can in Detroit.
So that's embarrassing to those two programs to face a school that just builds talent and work hard.
That's it. Tradition.
Wow.
So, again, we look forward to it. August 30th.
Yeah,
we started kick it off at Wayne State.
Yes, sir.
It's a 7 o'clock game, and then again we return back that night. So that means Thursday night will be football at Hackley Stadium with the JV and the freshman game.
Yep.
So definitely come out and support those groups. JV went totally undefeated last year, so they should have another good year. So we're excited.
And since some of those boys are coming to varsity.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So. And a lot of folks come out and see Cam Martinez his last year, and people will be amazed at what he does when he's not at the quarterback spot.
Yeah.
He's going to be all over the field.
Yeah, he's not going to be a quarterback this year?
Periodically.
Yeah, okay, because they got somebody else to fill.
Yeah, they're
going to
move him around, man.
Wow, getting ready for the next level, too.
Yeah, just wreak havoc on the offense on the other side of the defense, brother. Defense on the other side of the ball. It's like, okay, when we move him out in a slot position – you know,
you can't stack three against him then, because he on the end.
Right. You got other players that are capable of
making plays.
So it's gonna be interesting.
So if you move him out to a slot, you got three people on him. The defense lopsided now.
Right. You know, and then you put him in motion.
Yep.
Okay, which flips the field.
That's right.
It's just all kind of things you can do with a talent like that, man.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
It's going to be fun.
And then you know how it is when kids or other coaches see a kid that was, I wouldn't say self-made, but had strong support and work ethic and mm-hmm. built up what he's supposed to do and living his dream. It's the negative from the other teams coming in.
Oh, no doubt.
How he going to Ohio State? Or how he doing this?
Could have went anywhere he wanted
to. But they don't know how hard that kid works. So then when they line up against him and he hit him with that, some of that stuff I seen last year, and I had to add the onomatopoeias when he hit him with that stuff, you're going to be amazed. When I saw him last year for the first time, I think he busted up like for 4 touchdowns on Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
And then he did one day LaSalle like that too. I said, oh, he's the real deal.
Oh, he's the real deal, man.
Because the image coming in was, he was a Catholic. He got to just this division three, this mm-hmm. big time division two football. He's not gonna be ready. I'm like, hold on. I've been seeing this kid since he was like 7.
Yep.
He was playing with Tri-County or something, and he was always doing what he did this past season. So I just see the caliber of player he is. So if you disrespect him, be ready.
No, you gotta respect him. That's all I can tell you, man.
He's gonna run heavy.
You gotta give him props, man. Talent.
Yeah.
Talent respects talent. Yep. Game respect game. So let's get it on.
I can't wait. This is gonna be a good, great season.
Yeah. So you know, well, our first three games are all perennial teams. You know, our third game is with East Grand Rapids, which is always a great team. We played them in the playoffs, and you know that was a very exciting game. So again,
yeah, they hung in first two quarters. They did. They did a good job. They're another school, another parochial school.
Yeah.
That handpicked their kids.
Well, they're public school, East Grand Rapids is, but it's an affluent area.
That's right.
Okay. And they can kind of get the magnet effect, you know, just like Grand Rapids Christian was.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, man, it's going to be an interesting season. And I think I play, you know, the Wayne State, like Martin Luther King played before us that Friday when we played De La Salle. They played Detroit Catholic Central.
Yes.
Which has always been a good game. So that gives our coaches an ability to do some scouting, because King will stay and watch our game as well and do scouting and get ready for next week. So I plan to spend the whole day on Saturday in Detroit, man, watching me some
good And that's football. The game going to be at Wayne State with the Detroit right. side. Okay.
Yeah.
So they did it right. They like, look, this is going to be a cash game.
Yeah. It's a sponsor game.
Yes, right. It's going to be
the
big
Zenith.
Time.
I call it the Zenith conference or Zenith matchup, what have you. So the difference is, like, the second week it was should have been at Wayne State.
Yes, sir.
And they said, well, this is the bill to play here, Martin Luther King. And they said, oh, no, we're not going to pay. And they said, well, that's how we do this. Because guess what? Somebody is paying for that next Friday's game, which are the sponsors.
That's
They're
right.
paying to use the field. So if the next week we wanted to play there, then King would have to foot that bill. So
yeah, they don't know how it is. Coach, athletic director, Coach Guy coming in like, look, this is what we want to do.
Yeah, man, we want to be on the best stage available.
Our kids need the best stage. I can see him now. They're like, no, well, we ain't play y'all no more then. So I already see it. So
next time we play, he'll be at Ford Field again. If that's right. what it is, that's where it is.
Because he looking like, man, I got to endanger my kids in y'all backyard on the east side of the city. And I already know what's up with that.
Yeah, the turf is not the best. It's that old artificial turf. Hopefully they got it replaced this year.
Like the concrete stuff.
It was in bad shape last year.
That's like that concrete stuff. Michigan State had that stuff the first time around.
Yeah, right.
Ooh, that stuff is rough.
I remember the kids we played on that one year at State, and it was not good.
It was not
like
a good
basketball
experience. Court. That stuff hurt.
Yep.
So, I mean, you know, that's football at that level. But I seen a New Jersey release of my alma mater, Michigan State, and it looked like a Sprite can. I felt so sad, and I got my friends tagging me in messages, Tony. And I'm like, man, they're like, look what little brother got. And I was like, man, Nike, you really knocked it. You really put some dust on our shoulders for that. I don't know why. I just hope we have a great season. And I'm going to leave that at that. Man.
Okay.
Man. But just finishing up with sports, I know Carmelo Anthony's still trying to search for who going to give him some love and put him on the team. He seemed like he's almost begging, because I know his trainer was like, Carmelo Anthony better than so many guys on the bench in the NBA. Like, well, Carmelo Anthony does not want to pay on the bench. He doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. How much money does he want?
Would he take the league minimum? The veteran exception? What's that? $1 million?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a reason why. Okay. So don't get it twisted. Teams want to win. They got to manage the cap money. And you just got to get in where you fit in.
That's right.
So, He had his time. He had his time to shine, man.
Yeah, because I know the Lakers got a spot for somebody, but it's only 11 minutes.
Right.
And they still think about D-Wade. And they interviewed D-Wade the other day. He was like, last night, he was like, if LeBron called you right now and say, I got this spot on my team for 11 minutes, you going to do it? He said, man.
I respect you, but I can't do
it. Yeah, so I'm 36 years old. He said, look, I played my last game already. I got a family. I'm chilling.
Yeah. I'm not going to practice all year to play 11 minutes a game.
Yeah. Did his son get ready to go to college and all that? Yeah. You want to be there.
Right.
You got an opportunity to be with your kids? Hey, man, I'm sticking with my family. I'm had my heyday already.
Right. So, absolutely.
That's amazing, man. That's amazing. It's been a lot of stuff been going on lately since we was last on, I know.
Yeah, man. The biggest thing, you know, other than the tragedies that have taken place in this country, which there's a lot of discussion about what the undertones of that is, but
what sparked it?
Yeah, yeah. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna talk about the U.S. trade with China. It's a trade war.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, from what I can see, China is winning.
Oh yeah, they're winning. They're buying our American currency right now too.
Yeah, well, theirs is just they devalue theirs to the point where their products, goods, and services become much more cheaper and attractive on the international market, okay? So we're going to put a tariff on $300 billion, a 10% tariff on any products that come in from China. So China said, okay, we're going to turn around, we're going to do the same. But what we also we're going to do is we're not buying any agricultural products from the United States. China was the largest purchaser of crops from the United States, such as soybean, wheat, corn. You know, the country is 1.3 billion people.
Because when you think about here, I mean, dealing with my own, when I was dealing with my health issues, the Mediterranean diet is like when you think about China, Asia, and countries like that, that's the Mediterranean diet because they have mostly mountains. So mm-hmm. They got the rice, they got your fishes, they got your wheats, they got, you know, your high grains, they got things like that with your vegetables. So when they decide not to come to America because they have a mountainous region and they can't carve certain vegetables in their mountains when they dig in and they can put rice paddies there, rice fields.
Yeah.
But they can't put certain corn fields, yield corn.
Well, no, you got to feed 1.3 billion people. Okay, so your country actually can't produce enough to feed that many people. So you have to import the goods and services and that was the number one item that they brought from the United States was the agriculture items. And they're no longer going to do that. So what we know now is that the farmers, first of all, are going to suffer.
Yes.
In this country.
But he tried to get them a stimulus already, though.
That is like a Band-Aid, okay? These guys want to sell their crops. That's a long-term proposition versus a one-payment type of a situation. So what happens when these guys go out of business? They go bankrupt.
Okay. Farm go bankrupt because you got when you're a farmer, you mechanize your farm. You buy fuel. You make sure
your equipment's up.
You got employees.
Yeah. Yeah. So it then becomes a ripple effect in the economy. And, you know, other jobs or industries will be affected.
I'm going to give you a great
example. Layoffs.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a great example. the guy I love, his name is John Hope Bryant. And he has an operation called the Hope Operation throughout the country where it deals with like credit. Business, small business, and building the country. He made a post the other day, Tony. He said it was this man that entered a small town, and he bought some gas at a gas station. Right, spent like $20 put it on the table. The gas station owner took $10 and went and got paid for his son a haircut. As soon as the guy gave him $20 for the gas, The barber took a portion of $10 and went to the meat man and paid him for the meat that he bought for his son open house or something.
Okay.
So the meat man went and paid his cardinal with a portion of that money.
Okay.
So the guy that he paid the cardinal to paid part of his mortgage.
Yeah. That's the link That's the connection. Everything is connected in this economy, okay? And when we have to start spending more for goods and services, like with the tariffs, it says here, like smartphones, toys, shoes, furniture, appliances, television. Yeah, they're going to cost us more. So then we have to make a decision on, do we buy those products or we forego buying those products? And inadvertently, it's going to affect the American workers anyway, for the simple reason that all this stuff has to get moved from place to place, right? Snyder is getting ready to lay off 15,000 truckers. Snyder is one of the largest trucking in, companies in this country.
So is Snyder right used to be the governor?
No. Not him. No.
I said,
no.
He making a killing then.
No, but it is, you know, it is already starting to affect the American economy.
And, you know, truckers was the economics that a lot of people that can't returning citizens back to our country chose.
Okay.
So yeah. Brothers that come home that then committed some felonies and their record is clean now, they chose to be private contractors to drive the semi-trucks.
Yep.
And they're making a great wage, a great living. So when a tariff hits them.
Yeah, we don't have, you know, all the corn, the soybeans, all that stuff has to get moved, all right, from one place to another. But if you don't have a product to move, we don't need the truckers.
You're right. You don't have it. You just don't have it.
Right. So, again, this economy is so connected to where ultimately we as citizens, consumers, are going to feel the effects of these tariffs. So, you know, there's two ways to look at this thing. It said, okay, we can sit down and we can negotiate. And, of course, each side is saying that the other one is not bargaining in good faith. So they shut it down. Because one side feels like there's got to be a winner. We got to show that we won, we beat them. And they may have the same mentality. But ultimately, both economies are going to suffer.
That's right. But then, like we always know, as China always been, they always had a backup plan. And I remember several months ago, me and you had to do a show, and we talked about how China gave Africa some type of $200 million loan or something. $200 to $500 million loan?
Yeah.
To mechanize certain areas of Africa?
To start the industrialization of the farming in Africa.
So guess what?
Take advantage of the farming.
They knew they was going to get, they knew this president already. Like, look, 45 going to be like this. So let's go on and just get Africa some money.
Let's get started.
Because we devalued our yen or our dollar already.
Yep.
So we can come in, we buying up American dollars. We're going to take this money, give Africa this loan. But it's a loan they don't have to pay back.
They don't need that money, man.
Yeah. So it's a straight up write off of China. And they still going to play with the negotiation with us and see what they going to get. And when they don't get none, they like push that button on Africa 100%.
That's it. We'll just move everything that we were purchasing from the United States over to Africa. Because you got to remember, you know, the only really big question over there is the irrigation. All right, to be able to get the crops watered, but we know how fertile the land is there. So,
yes.
You know, this whole plan that China has is to kind of diverse themselves away from the United States.
They've been building highways over there and everything.
Yeah, you got to have that infrastructure, the highways, the waterways to move the goods and the services to the transport areas to get them back to China. Yeah. And again, we could negotiate with China in hopes of trying to create a more balanced trade. But you got to have people that are willing to do that. You got to have an open mind. And sometimes you may have to give a little to get a little. But when you have an attitude that, you know, if it's not your way, it's the highway, then, you know, there will be no winners. We'll all be losers in the long run.
Let me ask you this question. All right. So, like, I know I got a little knowledge in this. You got certificates and investing and all that, right?
Yeah.
Now I'm a common man, and I'm listening to this right now, and I'm like, what are you talking about? That don't affect me.
Yes, it does. Okay, first of all, it's going to affect your investments if you got 401k.
Okay.
All righty, IRA, and you invested in mutual funds or what have you. The value of those have went down because the stock market have got the jitters, so people are starting to take their money out of the market, put it into gold, put it into bonds.
Gold is high right now too.
Well, gold is always a staple where, you know, you can always put money in there and it's pretty safe because the value of gold doesn't fluctuate like the value of currency does. All right. It's pretty stable. Bonds are an instrument that you use to kind of maintain the money you have, preserve what you've earned. It doesn't give you the great return but you don't lose like you potentially do in the stock market. It's been a 10-year bull market, okay? The economy, for all intents and purposes, is in still good shape. But if we continue down this road of the tariff war, we could actually induce a recession in this country. Hopefully that won't happen. Hopefully this correction that we're at right now, we'll ride it out, and hopefully by the fourth quarter coming up, you know, things will balance out.
Do you think that, I mean, like, I've been through the 2008 mortgage crisis. I've went through that experience myself as a investor and as a homeowner, okay? Mm-hmm. And I looked at it, and I'm like, I looked for certain indicators.
Yep.
And first thing I noticed when they did a rate cut,
mm-hmm.
when they cut the interest rate, and I was like, oh, yeah, we could refinance. You could do this and do that. I'm like, if we get ready for a bear market, why would I refinance my home?
Well, yeah, well, and there's some other things that goes along with refinancing as well. They've lowered the amount of equity now that you can actually pull out of the house.
I know they changed the tax rule on. Remember we
talked
about
that
too?
Yeah, it was like 85%. Now it's like 80. You know, if your house is worth $100,000, the maximum amount that you can pull out of it is $80,000.
And you got to do certain things with it.
Yeah.
Remember we talked about
that. In order
for
it to maintain a tax break.
So it's a trap.
Yeah.
He set a trap up. It's a bear trap. That's what he meant. Yeah. It's not a bear market. It's a bear trap. And I think it's just a self-imposed, forced to like, okay, election time coming up. Let me create this fictitious. Not fictitious, but let me put these indicators up that you know it's another market going to come where it's about to be a big dip.
Man, I tell you, I can't even see the benefit in doing that. Okay, the deadline is September 1st. September 1st is when these tariffs are supposed to take place.
That's the last quarter, though, Tony. Look at that.
That's the start.
The last 3 months of the year.
Yeah. So if nothing changes and this happens on September 1st, that will probably be the trigger that starts this slowdown in our economy.
So then we go into 2020,
yeah,
with the last quarter being a tariff quarter.
Yeah. Yeah. Where people have lost, not a lot, but, you know, maybe 10-15% of their savings. Because when you do cut the interest rates, which we've done, that also reduces the amount that you receive back from money that you have in your savings account or CDs, what have you. So, yeah, money is cheaper, right? That's basically what interest rates say. It's cheap money. I can borrow cheap money. But it also goes over to what you receive as far as interest on your earnings from savings, checking, CDs, and that kind of thing. Okay, so cutting the rates is like a stimulus where you want people to go out and borrow more money. But if people have the idea that maybe this recession will take place, I'm not going to buy any goods like a car, home, major items, then you really haven't done anything to stimulate the economy when you got the tariffs that is dictating a negative effect on the economy.
Yeah, because we even changed the way our scope is, like, don't buy no new cars, pay off everything we have.
Yep.
Change how we shop, smaller places, more affordable, no name brand stuff, go to Aldi's, buy this, buy that. We done changed our whole paradigm of how we approach our economy in my own household right now.
Well, that's a good move, man.
When I seen that rate cut, I was like, hold on, I remember this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a stimulus, which normally doesn't happen unless there's, you know, like I said, the fact that there might be a recession in play. But again, rates are still low. I mean, you're looking at 3.25% on a home loan, man.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, you know, wait for the earnings. Fourth quarter earnings on the automobile industry are really going to be important.
That's the real shaker.
To see what happens with the economy when that third quarter report comes.
And they're doing something
fourth
right
quarter,
now.
Excuse me.
They've been calling people about trading their vehicles in. They're talking about you can get 20% off the MRSP price of the car.
Well, you know, this is their model year, man. This is August. This is when they start rolling out the 2020s. Okay? Yeah, they don't wait till January 1 to roll them out. You know, they've already built inventory of the 2020s.
So you get 2020 right now. It's
right
now, with the rate cut.
Okay? But you got to be in a position where you know that you're secure in your employment in order to pay for it. Yeah, there's a certain percentage of the population that, you know, so much isolated because they've got enough money where it's not a big deal. Yeah. But overall, the middle class America is where these guys target the purchasing at middle class, not the real upper class. I mean, because they're going to have money irregardless. So it's middle class America that'll dictate how well the auto industry does in this fourth quarter with the new 2020 market.
That revolving paycheck, when they get that money, what it's spent on leisure, food, right?
Right.
Housing, things that you're going to revolve.
Yeah. So normally what happens is people will hold off. They'll wait till first of the year, see what happens. We're not going to make any major purchases till we find out what's up with the economy. The smart people, okay? And then when 2020 rolls around, those models are still available. Maybe they might be on a discounted basis because the inventory is such where you're not, you know, they didn't have the number of sales. So they're going to start rebating. You know, rebating in automobiles have been around for a while. So those are the kind of things you look for at the start of 2020.
And then when you look at markets like this, you get those vehicles that are made cheap.
Yeah, yeah. You may look at the purchase that you're trying to make in a different way. Whereas before, you know, you could say, well, I can afford an $800 car note. Now you're saying, maybe I don't want an $800 car note. I need a car. Maybe I go with a $500 car note.
Yeah.
Something that you could withstand in the event you
or no car at all. No car at all.
Or keep the same one you got.
That's what we recommend. Don't buy no other car at all.
Yeah. And the housing market is already slowed.
Yeah.
All right. That's another key economic indicator is the home purchases. It has also slowed. So even with that rate cut, which was what they call a quarter basis point, it's still not enough to stimulate the home purchases. And again, it's all about middle class home purchases. So the next 3 months, September, October, November, December, is going to be very interesting to see what happens in our economy, especially September 1st is when these tariffs take place. And hopefully they can get back to the table and come up with some better scenarios that will protect both countries' trade interest and not be a negative effect on our economy.
Man, I really do hope so, because that was a rough time, that 2006 to 2008. I don't want nobody else to go through that again. Don't be silly and have somebody trick you into like financing something for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years. Because I've been seeing people being happy. I was working with a client the other day, and he wanted me to look at his credit report, and I looked at it. And I was just like, I said, okay. I looked at it. I said, it said a car payment for $458. And I said, what kind of car is this? It was like a 2014. And I was like, I'm not going to name the vehicle or anything. And I was thinking, I did my numbers. It said 60 months, $458. Then it had the original price. And I said, man, you're going to pay for this car twice. I said, who put you in this car?
Oh, yeah. Happens all the time. All the time, man.
I said, who put you in this car, man? And he told me, and I was like, I said, why you didn't call me before?
Yeah, I get it all the time, Chauncey. The guys, they put them in these cars, and they really can't afford them.
Yeah, and I was like, like when I plan for my retirement, I got the same guy when I first started teaching, right? And he always tell me, he say, Chauncey, you want to invest the car note. He said, always say that.
Yes.
I was like, what Good do you move. Mean by that? And I got older, my first 5 years investing, I see what he was talking about. When I paid the vehicle, he said, I'll be paying over $500 for a car. He said, you got an income tax or something? He said, take that, put that down with good credit. Mm-hmm. He said, you're going to pay $300 a month. You ain't going to pay no five or six no more. He said, give me that $300.
Give me that. Every month.
Yep. And he said, you're going to get your 3% increase, and then whatever you do in your business or whatever, he said, you're going to pay $500 to yourself.
Right.
That's what he told.
And that's the way to do it, man.
So
that's it, man. And you know, yeah. One of the numbers that came out of this scenario said that these tariffs could cost each household in America $650 a year. Okay, $650 a year don't sound like a lot, but multiply it by 327 million. Okay, that's the number of people in this country on average
right now.
And
are we in our show?
That's the kind of hit that the United States would take on the increase from the tariffs, which is in the billions of dollars.
600 what?
$650 a year, and there's 327 million people in this country. I know it's going to be a huge number, man. Yeah.
370. So I can't even get the other zero.
Okay, it's so got, it's like $370 billion.
It's added
expense. Okay, and not talking about all the other things that may come as an increase in how you operate your household. So, trust me, when you hear about the trade war, United States and China, it definitely affects every American in this country. Whether you agree with it or not, the effects will be felt in your wallet. You will spend more for goods and services, even though they may not come from China. It may come from another country, but they're going to be more than what you could have purchased them from China.
So I used to watch, I know I usually watch my grocery bill or my energy bill. I always watch stuff. I go into the store, I see the box of cereal being a little smaller. I'm like, hold on. What happened with this box? So I just, did the box shrink?
Oh, yeah.
The top part is still be the same size, but the top be skinny.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They can determine if they produce a million boxes of cereal and they take an ounce out of each box of cereal that they manufactured, they can, you know, determine what kind of profit margin they can pick up by just having removing an ounce out of a box of cereal. And you would never know it. Yeah, I mean, it's like, printed on the label, but you probably never look at it. Box the same size, but the package inside is less.
If you cheap like me, when it comes to buying food, I'm going to know. I'm going to look at it. So it's going to happen for us. So I want to just give scripture today. I've been doing this for my bills every month. And it's John chapter 8, verse 32. And I'm just going to paraphrase best way I can. It says, ye shall tell the truth, and it will set you free. So basically, we got to get our country to come clean, our president to come clean and tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Reveal your real plan. What are you trying to do? What do you want to accomplish? You done been to court. You done had the Mueller report. You done paid off people. Just tell the truth so we can go on. Stop putting these lives and these people that are victims of your decisions. Number 45. I'm Chauncey Wimps.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.